First time I'm going to get this right. Good afternoon, everybody. Paul got me early, so I was ready for it this time. I just want to wish everybody a happy new year. Hope it's been good so far. If it hasn't, boy, you've got a long year to go yet. We're looking at starting the book of Ephesians this week. And I love the way Paul starts out here. I'm going to be doing the introduction on the book, but the first two verses go along with that. And it says, Paul, an apostle of the church, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a great way to start a year with an introduction like that. I love it when he says, grace and peace be to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. That's something we need to look for in this next year. If it gets any worse than last year, we're going to need all the grace and the peace we can get. Let's open in a word of prayer, if you would. Bow your heads with me. Lord, we thank you and praise you for just being able to worship you. You brought us together for that, to worship your name, to give you the glory and honor. Lord, I just want to thank you for all that you've done for everyone here. We just ask you to continue to give us that peace that we can make it through every day. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. In the way things are going, we need all the peace we can get. But the peace that they're talking about here in Ephesians is the peace that comes from God, the peace that we have with God. We've been at war with God ever since Adam and Eve first sinned. But through Jesus Christ, we have that peace again. I want to go start just a little bit further back here to get us a little bit of an introduction to the book of Ephesians. It was the city of Ephesus that the church was in, that this book was written to. Now, I could go back and give you all the facts and everything about how many people live there and blah, blah, blah. But to me, that'd be boring. I want to tell you what the church was like through somebody else, and that would be through Luke. That's where we're going to see Ephesus, the church in Ephesus begin. So let's go back a few books. Go back to the book of Acts, if you would. Luke is going to do a better job telling you the introduction than I will. Luke, and the reason I say Luke, not the book of Luke, but go back to the book of Acts. Luke is the one who wrote the book of Acts. We want to start in chapter 18. It said, Paul, and I'm going to do a fair amount of reading out of the book of Acts here, but like I said, I think he does a better job at introducing us to that church, better than I could probably do, and give you a little bit of a background. We just went through the book of Galatians. What do we know about the church in Galatia? They were fighting a problem. Remember what it was? What was it? The biggest issue that they were having in Galatia?
Falling back to the law.
Paul had to keep admonishing them, hey, stay away from that. It's not the law that saves you. Now, it's a little different here in the book of Ephesians. They're not fighting the law. But let me give you a little bit, like I said, go back to chapter 18. We'll start at verse 18. There's several things we're going to learn about the church in Ephesus. It says, Paul stayed in Corinth for some time. Then he left the brothers and sailed for Syria, accompanied by Priscilla and Aquila. Before he sailed, he had his hair cut off at Caesarea because of the vow he had taken. They arrived at Ephesus, where Paul left Priscilla and Aquila. He himself went into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they asked him to spend more time with them, he declined. But as he left, he promised, "I will come back if it is God's will." Then he set sail from Ephesus. When he landed in Caesarea, he went up and greeted the church and then went down to Antioch. After spending time in Antioch, Paul set out from there and traveled from the place to place throughout the region of Galatia and Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately. Though he knew only the baptism of John, he began to speak boldly in the synagogues. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. When Apollos went to go to Achaia, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to his disciples there to welcome him. On arriving, he was a great help to those who, by the grace, had believed. For he vigorously refuted the Jews in public debates, proving from scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. What we learn here in Acts is that the church in Ephesus was founded on some quality people. You want a good church, you got to start with a great foundation. And here Paul went to Ephesus, leaving Priscilla and Aquila, who we read about in several different places in the Bible there, in the New Testament. They were solid Christians. And then we hear of Apollos, another man who was solid in the Lord. So what we're learning here about the church in Ephesus is that the church was started with some good people. They were solid. They knew the word. And the church was built there. Now, what we're going to see, the difference between the Galatian church and the Ephesian church is that, like I said, we look back, they were admonishing, Paul was admonishing that church, saying, "Hey, you got some problems here, and you're allowing this false teaching into the church." Now, when we get to the book of Ephesus, what we're learning is that this was a solid church. When we get to looking at some of the teachings in the church there and the letter Paul wrote to the Ephesians, is that this was a solid church. They were only teaching further and further the ways the church should be run. But they had a good foundation to begin with. Now we're going to start at chapter 19 here in Acts. And like I said, I'm not even into the book of Ephesians, okay? I'm only doing the introduction today. But I think this was the best introduction that I could come up with. Basically, going back to somebody who was there at the time and able to write on it. Now, here's the next step I want to look at. It says, while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They answered, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." So Paul asked them, "What baptism did you receive?" "John's baptism," they replied. Paul said John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly there for 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God, but some of them became obstinate. They refused to believe and publicly maligned the way. Did you know that that was the first name of the church? It wasn't the Christian church, it was the way. Interesting, if you haven't heard that before. So Paul left them. He took the disciples with him, and they had discussed daily in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. They went on for 2 years so that all the Jews and the Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and the evil spirits left them. Some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, "In the name of Jesus, who Paul preaches, I command you to come out." Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. One day the evil spirit answered them, "Jesus I know, and about Paul I know, but who are you?" Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them, overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. When this became known to the Jews and Greeks living in Ephesus, they were all seized with fear, and the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor. Many of those believed now came and openly confessed evil deeds. A number who had practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly. When they calculated the value of the scrolls, the total came to 50,000 drachmas. In this way, the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. After all this had happened, Paul decided to go to Jerusalem, passing through Macedonia and Achaia. "After I have been there," he said, "I must visit Rome also." He sent two of his helpers, Timothy and Erastus, to Macedonia, while he stayed in the province of Asia a little longer. Now, what do we get out of that part of it? Like I said, I'm trying to introduce you to the church there. What kind of impact did they have on their community? There were miracles happening. What do we see happening in the spiritual realm there? We see the spirits jumping on these people. I mean, they literally put the fear of God in the people of Ephesus. Why? How did they do that? The spiritual aspect that is revealed here, we see the basic foundation of that church built on a solid foundation. We see what's happening in the church, the miracles and signs and wonders that were happening in that community. Would that get your attention if that started happening in a community around you? What I'm trying to do is give you a great basis of why Paul didn't have to encourage them and work through the problems in the church. The church had an impact on the community. Now, I'm not finished yet. We're going to go one step further here in the introduction. Like I said, Luke's doing a great job. I don't have to. I just have to read what he has to say. Made this introduction easy for me. Verse 23 there in chapter 19. "About that time, there arose a great disturbance about the way," which is the church there. "A silversmith named Demetrius, who made silver shrines of Artemis, brought in no little business for the craftsmen. He called them together along with the workmen in related trades and said, 'Men, you know we receive a good income from the businesses. And you see and hear how this fellow Paul has convinced and led astray large numbers of people here in Ephesus and in practically the whole province of Asia. He says that the man-made gods are no gods at all. There's a danger not only for our trade, but we'll lose its good name, but also the temple of the great goddess Artemis will be discredited, and the goddess herself, who is worshipped throughout the province of Asia and the world, will be robbed of her divine majesty.'" Wow. Wouldn't that be a change in a community if you change their whole religious beliefs? "When they heard this, they were furious and began shouting, 'Great is Artemis of the Ephesians!' Soon the whole city was in an uproar. The people seized Gaius and Erasticus, Paul's traveling companions from Macedonia, and rushed as one man into the theater. Paul wanted to appear before the crowd, but the disciples would not let him. Even some of the officials of the province, friends of Paul, sent him a messenger begging him not to venture into the theater. The assembly was in confusion. Some were shouting one thing, some another. Most of the people did not even know why they were there. The Jews pushed Alexander to the front, and some of the crowd shouted instructions to him. He motioned for silence in order to make a defense before the people. But when they realized he was a Jew, they all shouted in unison, for about 2 hours. Great is Artemas of the Ephesians. The city clerk quieted the crowd and said, "Men of Ephesus, doesn't it all of the world know that the city of Ephesus is the guardian of the temple of the great Artemis and her image, which fell from heaven? Therefore, since these facts are undeniable, you ought to be quiet and not do anything rash. You have brought these men here, though they have neither robbed temples nor blasphemed our goddess. If then Demetrius and his fellow craftsmen have a grievance against anybody, the courts are open and there are proconsuls. They can press charges. If there's anything further you want to bring it up, it must be settled in a legal assembly. As it is, we are in danger of being charged with rioting because of today's events. In that case, we would not be able to account for this commotion, since there is no reason for it." After he said this, he dismissed the assembly. What do we see happening in the community there? Paul silenced them all. Even these men who were creating images of Artemis, they didn't even have any legal ramifications against them. What we see here is a church that was started basically by Paul and these people that he brought in. And he was there for what seemed to be about 3 years. But they had so changed the community of Ephesus that they were now not following after strange gods, but they were following after Christ. So when we go back to look at the book of Ephesus, understand, Paul is not taking this situation and having to fix the problems. They had a great foundation to begin with and built the church in a way that it touched the community. There weren't people in the church that were causing problems in the community, but rather they were doing it the right way. So when we look at the book of Ephesians from a standpoint here, from this introduction to where the church started and where it was after 3 years approximately, and Paul having to write a letter because he said he wanted to return. Well, when Paul wrote the letter to Ephesians, he was in prison. They had imprisoned him in Rome after he went there. And so he was able to write this letter knowing full well that the church was in good hands. But what he wanted to do was encourage the people to say, "Hey, what can we do to make this even a better church?" And this is what the book of Ephesians is dealing with here. And I was teasing my wife when I was putting a sermon together this week. And I said, you know, I need to change the introduction, the way Paul greeted the Ephesians with the introduction. And it should say, or I guess I should put it back up just a little bit. If Paul were here today, I think he would be giving the greeting here in Virginia Dale by saying, "To the saints in Virginia Dale, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Because from the time I've been here, what I see is a fairly solid church with good teaching, with a good background. And I think the book of Ephesians, we can grow from that book by just looking what Paul is teaching here through this letter. And so as we go on for the next probably several months getting through this book, we're going to see some of the things that Paul was talking about and grow with this people. As we go through this book, look at it and say, how can we use this letter that Paul wrote back several thousand years ago to now help us as a church, to build off of the solid foundation, to build a better church, to build a better life for ourselves, because we are the church. In Ephesus, they didn't have a building at any point. They met in homes, they met in different places. It isn't about the building. Paul knew that when he was in Ephesus. It's about what? The people. This is not the church. The building is not the church. This is the church. The people that are in it. This is what people see. I don't care about the building. I mean, you guys have got a great little building here, and I know it's known in the communities far and wide. People tell me that they honk when they go by. They stop in. They say a prayer. They, when they're struggling during hard times, they'll stop in here and pray. But it's not about the building. It's about the people. That's the one thing I've learned here is that you've got a great church. And I'm not talking about the building. I mean, hey, it's a neat little building. Don't get me wrong. But it's the people that I've come to enjoy here. We come back every week, not because of the building, but because of the people. We enjoy it. What we're going to be looking at here in the book of Ephesus is the first several chapters deal with God's purpose for the church. What purpose do we have of getting together? Why do we need to get together? We're going to touch on those issues in the next several chapters. What about the church itself? Where's its future? What's it, you know, where are we going? What are we doing? This is something we have to look forward to. God's standard for the people in the church. What does God require of you? What does God want out of you? What does he expect? If you want to build a church like Ephesus and be known around the world, even though it's a small group, what are you going to have to do? What kind of people do you have to be? What is God asking from you? One of my favorite verses that I remember comes out of the book of Ephesus. For by grace are you saved through faith. When you're visiting with somebody who's never heard the gospel before, and you're able to share that kind of a message with people, it's strong. You mean I don't have to be a good person? I don't have to be perfect? No. You have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's one of the most important things. We're going to be looking at some of the other topics that come up. What is the standard for authority and submission within the church? Husbands, wives, families, how do you treat your children? You know, what's the biblical standard for it? We see people who treat their family poorly. You know, wives, be submissive unto your husband. I can see that, you know, the angst in some people when it comes to that. And it's not about that. It's about the love in the family. We treat each other properly. I mean, there's issues that come up. How do we handle those issues? What about our children? How do we treat them? It's all going to be covered here in Ephesians. The other, you know, things I find interesting when we're talking about how to act within the church. I was tease people, if you look back at Timothy, what does it take to be a member in the church? Or let me back that up and say, to be an elder within the church, what are the qualifications? Now you pick somebody out of the church, but if you go back to Timothy, he says, not a brawler, not a drunkard. And there's a few other things that they talk about, and it's like, we always expect people in church to be perfect people. And I'm like, okay, so they got to pick an elder in the church. And, well, we can't have Joe help us because he's a brawler. Can't have Sam help us because he's a drunk. But this is what the church is made up of. It's the brawlers and the drunks and all these people with problems. That's who the church is supposed to be reaching out and touching. Not to the saints in the town, but rather it's to reach out to people who need the help. And we're going to start seeing this through the book of Ephesians. What kind of people are we looking for? What kind of people does God want us to be? So as we move forward, I mean, my wife can testify of it. We pastored a church in Minnesota, and when we took over the church, okay, now I'm not talking about the people in the church. I'm talking about the board members. One was mad at the other for kicking him. We had another one saying that one of the ladies on the board was having an affair with the pastor. And when you go into a church like this, you don't know what you're getting into. But you got to start asking yourself, where has the church gone to when we see these kinds of things happening? Well, I found out later the pastor did more worship services than he did preaching out of the Bible. It's amazing when you get away from the Bible how bad things get. But when Paul set this church, set the foundation in the church, he did a fine job. Because we see in Ephesus, I didn't read anywhere in Ephesus where he's really dealing with any problems. He was encouraging the church to grow. They weren't trying to be conquered by an outside group, but rather just, hey, let's focus on the church. What's it going to take to make it better? And so for the next several months, that's what we'll be working on. I don't see those problems here, but hey, we can all grow. I'm sure if we quietly look to ourselves, we got areas in our lives we got to work on. Hey, I'm one of them. My life is not perfect by any means. I try to live a Christian life. I do all that. But how can we help each other to build one another up? That's what we'll be looking at, hopefully, in the next several months. And sharing with one another, growing as a congregation, as a church. And with that, I'm going to close. Because I got to do that introduction. Well, actually, Luke did. He helped me a lot. When you talk to those doctors, they do that. Luke was a doctor, so if any of you didn't know. But let's close in a word of prayer and pray that the Lord can teach us more out of Ephesians. Lord, I thank you and praise you for giving me this opportunity to share your word. Lord, help us all to grow. Help us all to continue to look for a better life for ourselves, for our families, for our friends, for the church, and everybody that's a part of it. And Lord, let us reach out to those that are out there lost. Let us show them how they can have peace with you through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and grow through this grace, knowing that we're not at war with God anymore, but that we're at peace. And I give you this time, Lord, and we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Who's up? Some of these authors of these hymns went through in life.
Yeah, I'm playing the hymns until I find. I'm gonna do some choruses too.
Oh, that would be fine. But
I'm gonna do a mixture. It's kind of fun. I got to get my eyes fixed too.
Thank you. Before we close with the Lord's Prayer, I would like to pray for our neighbors, the Louisville, Superior, Broomfield area. Heavenly Father, I ask you, Heavenly Father, to please lift up these people who have lost their homes and lost everything that they had, Father. And I pray, Father, that many of these people know you, and that they look to you, Heavenly Father, and always look to you, and that you will just lift them up, Father, and the people that are homeless and so many people that have no place to stay and any belongings anymore. Father, I pray that you will just watch over them and please help them, Father, and bless them to pick up the pieces and to move on with their lives. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Stay safe. Have a blessed week. Stay warm.